This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Industry 4.0 and the Internet of Things, or IoT, have been the trending topic recently. The Internet of Things that businesses can look forward is a completely interconnected network of devices that are constantly communicating and adapting to the information they absorb. This means massively boosted levels of efficiency, resource optimization, and human-to-machine communication. You're listening to Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu. Esperanti IoT is the first licensed and nationwide low-power wide area network, or LP1 IoT network operator here in Malaysia. And with me to talk about this in-depth is...
Hi Jeff, I'm Vix Kanagasingam. I'm actually an engineer by profession. I've been in the telecoms industry more than 20 plus years. I've done many startups, American startups, British startups, even Australian startups, doing business in Asia-Pacific. The last 2 years, I focused on IoT. So that's where Esperanti came about. I'm the COO of Esperanti IoT Malaysia. We are actually a Malaysian company.
And I see here on your business card, you have a hashtag, Empowering Things, yes. Which is actually the topic that we're talking about today in terms of IoT and the Internet of Things and Industry 4.0 as well. But who exactly is Esperanti IoT?
Esperanti IoT is actually an exclusive Sigfox network operator in Malaysia. We are the dedicated IoT network in Malaysia, first nationwide dedicated IoT network in Malaysia. All right. We build a platform for many companies that want to embrace IoT, especially in relation to Industry 4.0. All right. We work through an ecosystem of partners. Now, the technology we provide in Malaysia is Sigfox IoT technology. Sigfox is actually a global technology. Today, there are 60 over countries that have Sigfox IoT technology. So we are part of that global network.
All right. And before we dive deeper into what exactly is the Sigfox IoT network, and you know, when we're also going to talk about low-power wide area network, LP1 as well, correct. Right? Let's talk about the space in Malaysia here, the Internet of Things space in Malaysia, and the opportunity that it brings. 2018 was a year where everyone is talking about Industry 4.0. It's coming, and mostly had this thinking that it's, you know, it's only for the manufacturing space. It's for the larger players here. But you seem that this is not actually the case here.
Yeah. I mean, 2018, I would say even 2017, 2018, most of the companies, industries were talking about why Industry 4.0, all right? And everyone was like, you're absolutely right. Most of them were saying that Industry 4.0 was only for manufacturing. Actually, it's not true. If you look at the Industry 4.0, there are 9 enabling technologies. The three key ones are IoT, big data, and cloud. Now, those enabling technologies are applicable across industries, all right? So as for my experience talking to different industries, they want to embrace Industry 4.0, and the key reason is to want to optimize the business so that it's more efficient, reduce the cost, and the second is they want to come up with new revenue streams, all right? New technology where they can bundle IoT and enhance their offering, all right? So this year, last year was a lot of why. This year, we are beginning to see about how do I embrace Industry 4.0 and how can I adapt IoT. And they are asking ways to implement the solution across their business. So what we do is we create a journey for them, a face-by-face approach. So it's not a big bang, spend 20, 30 million ringgit and you're going to... And that creates fear. So what we do is we work through our ecosystem of partners. We take them through a journey and how to embrace Industry 4.0 with IoT as a key enabling technology.
And is that the reason why we're also needing an IoT network?
Yes, well? Absolutely. So when regard to IoT or Industry 4.0, you need connectivity. All right. So if you look at our technology, IoT, Sigfox IoT, it's a low-powered wide area network. Now, you look at the mobile operators, they are high bandwidth, high-powered network. Now, if you look at today, there are solutions that they provide. They call it M2M, machine-to-machine, and those devices are high-powered, require a lot of energy. So if you look at your mobile phone, it's actually an IoT device, and you need to charge it every day. Or every 2 days once. Your smartwatch is also an IoT device. It's high-powered, uses same like the Apple Watch every 2 days once you have to charge it. Now, then there's the other aspect of the industry where there are a lot of assets that are non-powered assets that you want to track and monitor. So, example for logistic, you have trucks, the primers, you monitor, you use the GSM technology, but you can't monitor the containers and trailers. In today in the market, every one primer is in linked to 5 trailers in the logistic companies. All right, it's a formula. All right, those trailers are taken from spot A to B, left there at the customer side, and then a primer comes back, picks up another trailer. Now, those trailers are non-powered assets. So that's where low-powered wide area technology is required. And that's why we build a nationwide network. So today we have clients that can monitor and track and locate their trailers nationwide and also globally. We have clients that have containers that goes to Thailand, that goes to Singapore. They can actually track them.
And these are chips that you're talking
devices,
about?
These are devices. Okay, Sigfox-enabled technology devices that are placed on the container and also placed on the trailer. All right, and these devices are self-powered with this built-in battery. Can last up to 5 years, 6 years, 10 years. Yeah, all right. So it's non-intrusive. It's plug and activate. All right, and that's why we call it practical industrial IoT. So that's where, with regard to Industry 4.0, again, we want to take our clients, especially SMEs, that want to bridge the digital divide against the large corporations already in the process of embracing Industry 4.0. And the SMEs are struggling. They say, do I need to spend millions of ringgit? And we are saying, no, you don't have to do that. You got a practical IoT solution from our ecosystem of partners using Sigfox on LPWAN, which is a nationwide network.
And I was also going through your site. There's this thing called the dynamic mobile assets. What does that actually mean?
Okay. When I say dynamic mobile assets, it's basically your assets are moving, mobility. All right. So example, today you have a truck. They're driving, and then it's got a container in there. In the container, there are pallets, all right? Today, before we came about, you only can monitor and track the primer as it's going from KL to Ipoh. It's mobile, and it's dynamic. It's going every location, stops at the petrol station, off it goes. But you do not know whether someone has opened the container, has the pallet been removed. Today, with our technology, you can place those devices as a trackers on the container or the pallets. And if on the way you notice towards Ipoh, the container has actually been parked, but the primer is still moving, or someone has removed the pallet from the container. All right, and these are non-powered devices and non-powered assets.
What's the benefit here for organizations to have that kind of data and info? What can they do with it, or how much can they actually save from knowing all this?
Based on our study and based on our experience from proven use cases globally, which brought example for the trailers. All right, today there's proven that today those trailers and containers are underutilized. And if with this technology, there's almost 30% reduction in cost or utilization. Okay, and in many cases, they've even said that they've over-purchased trailers and they don't know where they are. And with this technology and solution, they can actually track and locate those trailers and realize, listen, I don't need at least 30% of these trailers because they are underutilized. So there's already a savings immediately.
All right, so it's looking at savings of how much you actually spend and tracking the expenditure.
So you're
right?
Optimizing your business. All right, that's one example. There are also examples where gensets. We have clients that have gensets nationwide, generators. All right, they're distributed to run construction and other activities. They do not know when the gensets are active or non-active. They just basically service the genset based on 12 months, 16 months, whatever period. And when it breaks down, they have to replace. When it breaks down, they have to do there's a downtime. There's unplanned maintenance. So with our devices and solution and technology with our partners, where the device is placed on a genset, when it turns on, it sends a signal, it's on, the vibration picks up, and then when it's off, it tells you it's off, so you pick up, and then if the genset starts to grow legs and starts walking towards outside the zone, you know, this genset, it's actually gone out of space. So you can actually locate this genset. Today, that's why we found a lot of companies say, whoa, I couldn't do that before. Today, I can actually have visualized my data. I can look at it. Another example is in the KLIA airport, our client and partner, Strand Aerospace and Post Aviation, they provide services to the Malaysian airport, where they provide wheelchairs, as an example. So before, they didn't know where the wheelchairs were. So they had to use walkie-talkie and say, hey, there's no wheelchair. And we put this technology in place. They could find the wheelchairs. They knew where the wheelchairs were. They could shorten the time of delivery.
Yeah.
And they were very amazed. They said, listen, I want to do this to all the airports in Malaysia to improve the customer service, optimize the business. You know, so they were very excited. And one of the other examples, I mean, that's actually outside, slightly outside, is we talk about smart longkang.
Smart longkang.
Okay.
Right.
A year ago, there were a lot of flash floods. Yeah. And there were also dengues and some. And based on our technology today, we have devices that we place in the drain. All right. It can collect the flow of the water. All right. And these are self-powered devices. All right. There's no wiring required. It sends you data of the water flow. An example, let's say there's a flow of water in the drain in Taman Tun, all right? And BFM sponsored that drain, example. So it will send the data of the flow. And now when it picks up the data, it says, okay, there's no flow of water. It picks up data, checks the weather forecast and says, okay, this area is going to rain, all right? Then you know this potential flash flood because the drain's clogged. So you can trigger a notification to the community, to the municipal, to clear up the drain. Now, if the data shows that it's not going to rain for the next 2 weeks, then you know it's a potential dengue. You can clean up the drain.
Mm.
Right? Simple data like that is significant. So we call it smart longkang.
Right. Right? That's very clever. Yeah.
And we have also smart bouquet.
Which is?
Okay. Smart bouquet is because we have devices that we place on the hillside.
For landslides. Especially
landslides, hill slope. And during weather, heavy rain, even construction sites when they're doing work, it will send you the vibration. And you can pick up, if there's any movement of the soil, you can pick up. These are plug and activate. There's no wiring required. Mm. So that's smart bouquet.
Mm. It not only kind of saves money for business, but it potentially could save lives as
Absolutely.
Well, right?
So we have smart bouquet to save lives.
I'm speaking to Vix Kanagasingam, the Chief Operations Officer at Xperanti IoT. And we'll take a quick break before we dive into the roadblocks that enterprises are facing at the moment when adopting IoT. You're listening to BFM 89.9.
Business Filled Minds, BFM 89.9.
Back with me on Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu, and I'm here with Vix Kanagasingam. He's the Chief Operations Officer at Xperanti IoT, and we're talking about the power of IoT and Low Power Wide Area Network, or LP1. And Vix, early on, you spoke about taking your consumers or your customers on a journey into the space of IoT and Industry 4.0. But what are the current roadblocks that they're facing at the moment and prevents them to even just start this journey?
Just tell you about the three-step journey. Something very similar. The phase one is actually capturing data and giving them visualization on a dashboard and application so they know where the assets are. So that's phase one. Over a period of time, in phase two, as we get more data, they can start to analyze the utilization of the assets. So they know this asset is underutilized, this is overutilized, they can do planned maintenance, etc. Phase three, with more data, you can actually now predict potential failures, predict potential take-up, all right? So over a period of time. So we take them through a very step-by-step, phase-by-phase approach. Now, the challenges internally is the fear of embracing technology, all right, which is normal. It comes from the top. Sometimes there's a fear that if we put this technology, they will lose their jobs. So we have to educate and say, no, you're not going to actually lose the job. It's going to make your job better, more efficient.
But it's also disruption of their day-to-day work and understanding that the flow of work now will now change. Yeah. It's actually making your life easier.
Absolutely.
But that fear of change.
Correct. Correct. So that challenge, Jeff, it's something that we have to actually acknowledge. All right. And when we come to selling technology, I've been selling solutions for 15 years. I always say it's people, process, and technology. So you need to look at the people that you have, what type of people they have, the skill sets, what they have, what processes you have in place, and the technology that's going to support the process and the people. And sometimes you put the best technology in place, but your processes are not defined and the people are not skilled, then it's going to be a flop.
Mm.
So we spend time with our partners and we try to understand our customers. So we call it the part of the journey, the discovery session, where we try to discover and understand truly our customer problem. And sometimes, personally, we have walked away from an option because we realize, we tell them, listen, you don't need this technology, you just need to change your process.
Mm.
right? Because you don't need this because you tweak a bit on your process, I think you're sorted, you know? And in some cases, they go for a conference, the leaders go for a conference, they say they heard some new technology, they come and tell the guys, do this. Then they call us in and then we listen to their requirements. I say, you really don't need this advanced technology because you're far away from that. You need to actually go through a phase-by-phase approach and build the business case at each phase. So you can see the savings and take you through a journey. All right. So then there are also conflicts. They want to move very fast. Some organizations are not patient. They want it big bang. At the same token, they don't want to pay a lot of money. So it's a lot of education that we have to go through. And actually, to be upfront, in Malaysia, it's the same problem anywhere in the world.
It's a mindset.
It's a mindset.
Mm. On the show, I always tell like the technology is only as good as the human beings using it.
Correct.
And that is, like you mentioned, it's a global challenge. What else do you see Malaysians are actually facing in terms of, is cost something that they bring up? Because they would think like, IoT, I got to buy this many devices now and you know it's going to add on to more costs. Is that also a roadblock that you're seeing?
I mean, Jeff, cost is always a roadblock. Okay, that's why our process is we try to help them build the business case. And they always say, how much is the cost? They get excited, they say, how much is the cost, all right? So our job is, okay, this is the cost, but let's look at your problem. Let us help you build the business case to justify the cost. Now, what we have expanded is that, I mean, our connectivity can range from 1 ringgit a month to 4 ringgit a month. It's very, very low. It allows our companies to embrace industry 4.0 or practical industry IoT very easily. So we have that in play. Cost is always an issue. After we overcome that cost issue with building the business case, then cost is not an issue anymore. So we as solution providers with our ecosystem, we always say, don't talk about the cost. Let's help them solve the problem and show them that the problem will actually save money based on a business case. Then I think the game is on.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about, you know, so the smart longkang and the smart bucket and all, you know, wherever you put these devices in, you know, you collect this data. Yeah. Many would ask then, like, who manages this data? Who gets access to this kind of data and information? And it's the Internet of Things where it's not just one company or individual now would have the information on this. How do you go about in terms of managing the vast amount of data that just comes in and who owns this data?
Good point. So when you talk about PDPA, Personal Data Protection Act, no, we are not in the PDPA. It's not, there's no personal data protection. It's about things data. Now, we just give you an example for Smart Longkang. All right? Smart Longkang is more of a municipal government initiative where they want to monitor the water level. So that data resides in the government, in the municipal, where they use the data to improve the service for the community. Now, we also advocate that the data is also available for the community and also for the academic institutions where they can study and understand all the drain system in the country, where where it gets clogged, where the heavy rain impacts.
So you don't own the data?
We don't own the data. We are facilitators of the data. So we provide the network. The data resides in the customer's premises or resides in their cloud services that they purchase either from Microsoft or AWS or Google or IBM Bluemix. You know, they decide where they want to have the data. We are just a network.
Mm-hmm.
So some of our partners also build big data platforms where they provide that as a solution to our clients.
Mm. And how tough is it to get variety of organizations to sort of work together to that dream? Because it is the Internet of Things.
Yeah.
It's not the Internet of Thing.
Okay.
Right? So, and it requires everyone to sort of work together, to get together, whether it's municipal councils, whether it's the community itself, whether it's the organizations, SMEs, large SMEs, small SMEs. Right. When you, to get everyone on the same vision when IoT is being chased now as a dream, how do you find or get everyone to be on that same page of understanding what IoT can bring?
Okay. It's a big ask of everyone to come together. At the same token, there's a way to get that in play. So I go back to my simple, everything is a journey. It starts with you first. So we believe that we already have customers and partners that are already doing that on a small scale. When they are already starting to produce data, then the municipals want to get involved, communities want to get involved, all right? And when that happens, it becomes a chain reaction. It's bound to happen. We already see that because our technology is so practical and scalable and easily adopted by anyone from small industries and stuff. I have a vision, all right? For us to have this, I call it a metadata, available for the public to understand the drainage system, to know how many parking spots available, public parking spots available. Should I take the public bus or should I drive before I get out? By knowing that, I can reduce pollution. Think about it. If I'm going to go down to Bangsa, I need to know whether there's parking space around Bangsa. If it's full, I might take a Grab so that I don't go in circles looking for a parking spot. So I save the environment. Now, to come to that level, my vision is the government should set up a ministry called Ministry of Data. All right. This Ministry of Data should actually pick up the metadata of all the other ministries, from agriculture to manufacturing to domestic affairs. So this metadata is just picked up and is able to be visualized for the relevant parties that want to do good, do something for the community, for the environment. Mm. Today, there is no data. Today, the data is of silo. All right, agriculture guys want to do something else. Ministry of Transportation want to do something. So I'm saying if you take all this metadata, which is it's public available, it's awesome. All right, with that you can do a lot more stuff,
and that's what we'll see happen in places like Barcelona, where
correct.
It's a smart city.
Correct.
And,
you know. See, the thing about smart city is awesome because smart city is about multiple connectivity and stuff. Now I have to say this, Jeff. Everyone talks about smart city. The last 5 years, everyone talks about smart city. To me personally, smart city is just the two simple verticals we need to focus on, safety and security. The second vertical is energy and waste management. If we focus on those two verticals, you have a smart city, all right? Not putting some funky autonomous car. We are not there. Autonomous car is not there yet. Maybe when my hair starts to grow, no one can see me on the radio. You know, it'll take about 20 years for it to happen. So we are not there yet, all right? So we feel there's a need to look at things in a very practical way. When you look at it so big, they don't know where. I've seen many blueprints, but no execution. And that's one of the reasons in Ex-Paranti with the team and all that, we said we planned it and we executed a nationwide dedicated IoT network. We didn't want to wait for anybody else. And we launched the network officially in November last year, and we have covered 80% of the Malaysian population. Today.
How have you done this in such, you know, short space of time, okay. Being a small company as well?
Okay, so I come from a telco background. I used to be in Binarang, even before it was called Maxis, building a nationwide network. So I have some experience there. I have a team of guys who have the experience. So we applied those experience, one. We spent 2017 planning, 2018 executing. So today we are in partnership with E.co. They provide towers. So we decided to leverage off the existing towers they have, and we placed our base station on their towers so we could deploy very fast. The second part, we wanted to make sure the deployment was effective. We studied all the other Sigfox operators globally, and we realized, we looked at East. We looked at what Tunu always said, look East. So we looked at East, we went to Japan. Kyocera is a Sigfox operator in Japan. And Kyocera is a big company, and they have business in Malaysia. So we partnered with the Kyocera affiliates in Malaysia. We studied the way they deployed, the good, bad, and ugly, and we made sure we improve our deployment. And therefore, we applied those principles, and we were able to have a nationwide coverage by 80% of population by November last year. Mm. And this year, we'll continue the deployment. We have to hit 95% population coverage. And that's our mandate with Sigfox. It's a global
and
network.
Right now you are at?
We are about almost 85. Wow, the deployment is ongoing as we speak. We'll continue to hit 95%. Now, the other part is it's because it's a industrial IoT network, we also have to have redundancy. So our objective is every device will talk to minimum 3 base stations. All right. So by end of this year, we want to achieve that. And we will have 95% coverage. Today, we also have coverage in Sabah and Sarawak.
Mm. All What's the balance 5%, though? Many would ask then, why not 100?
Okay, now, that's for this year, Jeff. Okay, so next year, we'll continue. It's also a business, Jeff, all right? So we look at 6 sectors in the market. So we have oil and gas, agriculture, manufacturing, utility, transportation, logistics, and then you've got a smart city. We also have smart kampung. Okay, smart kampung is actually also bridge the digital divide. Everyone talks about smart city, we say about smart kampung. So to do use cases for smart kampung, we have to look at the areas we want to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes organization like Epic Homes that does homes for orang asli, do they need coverage, water quality and all that stuff. So we also work with organizations like that to improve. So that's a bit of a smart comment to bridge the digital divide.
Because there is that divide that you talked about,
absolutely,
right? And Malaysia is diverse in that sense that there, you know, the amount of urban areas, when you look at, you know, outside of the urban areas, there is a gap there.
Absolutely.
And that needs to be filled up before we can all move forward.
Correct.
To the next step.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so what's your goal for 2019? And now that you've sort of made your mark in this space already, you've got a few roadmaps in place. Yeah. What are you looking forward or excited in 2019?
One, I'm excited because we have lots of partners, all right, that they are very keen to work with us. We already have clients, like I mentioned earlier. One of the things that our goal this year is to come up with device makers in Malaysia. And also to get at least a dozen startups in Malaysia.
There are not enough of them?
The startups in Malaysia in relation to IoT.
Right.
All right? That can actually come
but
out
hardware
with...
hardware, guys.
Hardware and software. Mm-hmm. So you've got device makers, because today most of the Sigfox devices come from overseas. As we speak, we're working with device makers in Penang. We have a couple of device makers in Penang. We have a couple of device makers in Klang Valley. We're working very closely with PSDC, Penang Skill Development Center, where we want to encourage device making. Now, the devices that we bring from Europe or even from Australia, these devices are applicable globally. So all the device makers in Malaysia that makes the Sigfox devices can sell the device globally, especially those in Zone 4. All right. So it's very encouraging. We want to become a nation of makers. The second part is startups. And IoT is big. And it's part of the Industry 4.0. So I give an example. In Singapore, 2 years ago, when Sigfox was deployed in Singapore, they engaged with a local pest management guy. And he said, listen, you know, would you be interested in IoT? He said, actually, my biggest issue is I do not know where the rodents are coming from, where's the nest, where they hang on. I have traps, you know. But if I know where they're coming from, I can actually catch them better. So they deployed motion sensors, Sigfox devices, to a startup. They did the test, and it was so successful. You could actually reduce the cost for the customers because you could trap the rats faster and remove them faster. And he came up with a solution called RatSense. And now RatSense is available globally.
Wow.
A Singapore startup has gone global in less than 2 years. So I want to have a dozen Malaysian startups who have use cases that have become case studies with data models in Malaysia, and we want to take them global.
Mm. Yet again, you know, it's a tech show, but we are not really talking about the tech because the tech is there. It's available.
There. Correct.
It's just our hunger for it and what we can do with it, our creativity. Correct. And you know, it's again, comes down to our mindset. We
Correct.
Need to change.
Correct.
The culture as well needs to change. All right, Vic, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Vic Kanagasingam. He's the Chief Operations Officer at Esperanti IoT, talking about the power that IoT brings to your company without the hefty cost involved. You've been listening to Tech Talk, and if you missed any parts of this interview, you can download the podcast or stream it on the website or the BFM app or get us on Spotify. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.